Welcome into the Inside Slant here on the Sports Objective. Very excited. Another Saturday of college football, and especially with the times we're living in, folks, it's nice to know that we can, right near my big screen, and after our show, we'll get ready for watching college football. But to get you ready, to get all of us ready, Bubba, you've outdone yourself once again for the Inside Slant, another great lineup for us right here on the show.
Yeah, unfortunately, our first guest, and we'll be talking about a game that was canceled and that was supposed to be played today. We'll be talking with David Scott of the Charlotte Observer. After that, we will catch up with the likes of Jeff Allen from Nightline Sports Network, also Ryan Token of the Golden Hurricast, Keith Morehouse up in Huntington with WSAZ with the television station there. I'm talking about App State and the Thundering Herd. And then last but not least, Rob McClam of Inside Pack Sports.
Right now, very excited to have from the Charlotte Observer, David Scott. Like your name, David, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, Dave. How are you all doing?
Very, very excited to have, I guess it's week three of college football. Hard to believe we're here. And one of the storylines been, obviously, is a contact tracing. And unfortunately, with the 49ers, that came into play. And like you and I were talking about, there's most schools are following the protocol of what to do, some are not. And the 49ers are obviously stepped up and did the right thing.
Yeah, it would appear that way. What happened, they had a couple of guys over the last 2 weeks test positive, two last week and then one on Monday of this week. And though that player had contact tracing with what appears to be just about the entire Charlotte offensive line. And so they had to put those guys into quarantine on Monday, and some even were in it last week also. So the decision was made that without basically most of your offensive linemen, it didn't make sense to try and play. Coach Will Healy said that they were thinking about bringing scout team members in or walk-ons that were with the team, and that just was not a prudent thing to do, going to Keenan Stadium to try and play North Carolina with those kind of numbers, or lack of numbers per se. So yeah, they canceled it on Thursday, and everybody's got the day off today.
And that's the thing, is that when you're thinking about Mac Brown and what he's brought to the program, David, as you know, did a great job previously in the 80s and late 80s and early 90s with that program. And they're, I believe, number 12 this week. And so when you have number 12, North Carolina hosting the 49ers, it's already going to be a tough feat. And then the 49ers have got a great program up and coming, and you would hate to see like a really lopsided score, especially when you know that they're going to be a lot better than, say, if they got blown out like a 63-7 or some kind of crazy score, just because you don't have all your players there.
Yeah, and the bottom line is you got to think about the health and safety of the players who would be out there, not to mention those who were potentially affected by the virus. It was going to be a tough test for Charlotte anyway, but to go in there with a limited offensive line. They already knew their starting quarterback, Chris Reynolds, was out. He got hurt against Appalachian State last week, so they already had that going against them anyway. So, they took the sensible way out on this.
And, David, certainly one of the things I was going to talk about is, I know the game's already been played. I was really impressed knowing Charlotte's up and coming and having that rivalry. I guess it's like a rivalry, if you will call it, with Appalachian State, and having that game. And Charlotte gave Appalachian State fits. I really thought that Appalachian State would win the game, but man, Charlotte really hung in there with them.
Yeah, and it was played in the rain and the fog up there, without any fans. Well, there were a couple of App State parents in the stands, but yeah, Charlotte. They've got some offensive weapons. Defensively, they had some holes to fill. It looks like they found a potential star in a linebacker named Tyler Murray, who the transfer from Troy, who came in and sat out last year. He had 14 tackles an interception, forced a fumble, and recovered a fumble. He played really well too. So it was a competitive game, which Charlotte, the program, has now reached a point where that's not enough for them. They don't want to be just competitive. They don't want moral victories, but you know, they wanted to Appalachian like they did last year and gave them all they could handle.
No question. And then with this rivalry, I know it's good. Well, there's seven Division I schools in North Carolina. And with you guys out in the western part of the state, when you have Charlotte, App, and Wake, if you will, those three, and then you have the Triangle schools, and then East Carolina, for sure. So very excited to have one thing's for sure. The population is exploding, especially in your neck of the woods, with Charlotte recently surpassing San Francisco. I saw as number 15 in the country as far as population. Amazing feat.
Yeah, it's obviously a big and growing market. The Charlotte football program, the 49ers football program, as you know, is only eight years old. So they're still building on it. Will Healy's in his second year as coach, and he's brought a completely new outlook and kind of energy to the program that they're really, you know, trying to build on now. They're trying to take more advantage of being in the Charlotte market to help their recruiting. And he's known as a great recruiter anyway. So we'll see over the next couple of years how much fruit that bears. But yeah, Charlotte, being in the Charlotte market is definitely something that they use and can build on as the program continues to grow.
David, I know you were in Boone last weekend, so talk about that atmosphere, how surreal it was. You referenced the weather, but just I was listening to the first part of the game on the TuneIn radio, listening to Adam Witten's call on the App State Network, and then I was able to watch the second half. I particularly noticed this on the radio broadcast, just the pumped-in crowd noise. I've personally found it pretty annoying on the radio, and one of my App State friends said the same.
Yeah, Bubba, I felt the same way. you know, it's just something we're going to have to get used to. I think most schools are going to be doing it. You know, there's nobody in the stadium. They pipe in artificial noise. So there's just, you know, kind of a bizarre feeling to it. And, you know, maybe we'll get used to it. Maybe we won't, but having those two hearing all that noise and not seeing anybody making it was just strange. Now, you know, apparently parents are going to start being allowed into some of these games starting this week. I know they are at NC State tonight. They're working on a plan at Charlotte, I know, to do that for their home opener next week against Georgia State. So there'll be now more people in the stands, obviously not, you know, anywhere near to capacity, and it's all going to have to be to protocol and social distancing and things like that. So that'll change things a little bit, but yeah, it's just going to be something we're going to have to get used to. It has a completely artificial feel, especially when the crowd noise is piped in like that.
David, you were talking about that. It was funny because it's like when you watch these, I was watching the NFL college games, but I noticed even more on the NFL games. I don't know if it's louder or what, but it's almost like a really bad sitcom with the laugh tracks. You know, if the sitcom is not bad enough, and then you throw in those really bad laugh tracks, and that's the way that, I don't know, it just seems like there's a natural feel for the game, and then you throw in that, and you're like, where did that, wait a minute, there's no, you know, I know that I understand the production quality of things, and you're in the journalism business. I mean, we understand it's part of that is the entertainment thing, but we all know it's not like that we've been in a quote bubble. We don't know anything about the coronavirus. We know that all the protocols and the reason why there are no fans in the stands. So you look at, it's really weird to hear the music and to hear the crowd noise, and you look around, you're like, man, this is like a practice.
Yeah. And I guess if you're watching it on TV, I guess there's some shots of the stadium being empty, but with the crowd noise, you know, you're being asked to almost go into some kind of alternate universe. So it's just something that's strange.
No question. With Charlotte, you were talking about next week with Georgia State. What about the rest of the season? How are you feeling about the team as far as you covering the team? It seems like the trajectory is definitely headed in the right direction for the program.
Yeah, after the Georgia State game, that's a non-conference game. They'll go into Conference USA play the following week at Florida International, which, as we all know, had their game canceled this week against Georgia Southern. So we'll see. But, yeah, they go they're going to be a factor in Conference USA this year. What last year was their first winning record in school history in what at the time was 7 years. This is their eighth year now, their first bowl game. So they've got something they can build on. They're what Will Healy has said is they want to win conference championships and win bowl games. So last year was a step. It's not where they want to be. They've got quite a few players back, but they also are missing a couple of key guys from last year. Two guys who were drafted in the NFL draft, Alex Highsmith, their defensive end, who is an All-American, Cam Clark, an offensive lineman, and then Benny LeMay, who was their record-breaking tailback, was an undrafted free agent and has made the practice squad of the Cleveland Browns. So those are three pretty significant holes to fill. But at the running back, they brought in a guy named Trey Harbison, who had a couple thousand-yard seasons at Northern Illinois. He's a grad transfer. They had a couple of injured players who didn't play at all last year, who are all-star caliber players, guys like Tyreek Harris, a defensive end, and Ben DeLuca, the strong safety, who's getting ready to break the school tackles record. He missed most of last year also, and he's back. So they're filling some of these holes with some talent. The offensive line was – ironically, was their hardest hit by graduation, but they've got some couple grad transfers coming in. Four-star recruit by the name of Tyquise Crawford from Texas, who they recruited late and got him in, and he's going to be he should be an excellent player for them in the future. So they've got some pieces. Whether they can, especially with all the uncertainty now, whether they can equal what they did last year will be seen, but they should be a factor in Conference USA East.
David, you see that Bubba there, he tried to copy you. He was actually indoors and he had to run out to the stadium to the stadium. Yeah, the center field there. I love that. That's actually the bar area there, the Cannonballers. There, Kannapolis. We'll be joining, by the way, if you're just joining us, Jeff Allen from the Knights Nightline Sports Network is in the green room. He'll be with us in just a few minutes. We had a couple questions, if you don't mind, David. We wanted to put up from Mike Radford, a friend of the podcast, a wrestling great at East Carolina back in the 70s when we had a wrestling program, and an outstanding wrestling program. And he had a couple questions for you, if we can put those. Let's see if I'll get that first one up for you. He said, David, isn't our national anthem one of the storied treasures at our home game traditions?
Yeah, Jeff, it always has been, and continues to be. Yes, sir.
Well, we'll get that. And, as far as, what's, with the games going on and the, one question I had before we let you go, David, can you talk about we'll get to Jeff. Can you talk about the facilities at Charlotte? Do you have any knowledge of any, like, are there anything, capital campaigns or anything with the way the program is growing? I was amazed, by the way, when they were showing the students and they were showing those viewing parties. That was pretty cool. I haven't really seen that from an outsider, I guess, outside the Charlotte area, to see how the fans reacted to a football. That was really cool last week.
Yeah, the facilities are obviously, basically brand new. The stadium, Richardson Stadium, seats about 15,000, which is the smallest right now in FBS. But it can be expanded to upwards of 40,000. So they're waiting to do that. But the field house, the practice fields are all. State of the art, including the weight room. They do have a capital improvement plan that they're going to unveil, facilities plan that they're going to unveil sometime soon. The coronavirus has delayed that, but that should include a lot of stuff, not just for the football program, but all sports. So you can anticipate renovations and expansions all around campus, especially with the athletic department. Maybe something like an indoor practice facility, stuff like that. So, yeah, the facilities here are really nice, if for no other reason because they're basically brand new. But they're getting ready to expand and renovate them also.
That's cool. We appreciate your time, David. And disappointing that you are you. Are you gonna like take the weekend off, or what are you gonna do now that you don't have to cover the 49ers?
I have the weekend off, Dave. You're right. So have to come up with some last minute plans, I guess. Yeah, for sure.
Well, get some rest, because I know it's going to be a challenging season for many different reasons. But I know that with that beat that you guys are working around the clock a lot of times to meet the deadlines and stuff. How can people follow your work, David?
Twitter at DavidScott14, DavidScott14.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Enjoy your weekend, and I hope to get you back on the Inside Slant very soon.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Appreciate it, David.
See ya.
All right, David Scott there from the Charlotte Observer. Good stuff there. And I know a tough break for him, but a guy that we think a lot of, that's been a friend of the podcast for over a year now or more. Bubba, we're glad to have him back, and he does have a game to cover.
We do. I'm very excited right now to be joined by our good buddy down with UCF, the opponent, as we've referenced, for the Pirates next weekend, Jeff Allen from the Nightline Sports Network. Jeff, welcome in.
Hey, guys, great to be with you. And, gosh, you know, we were supposed to open 3 weeks ago against North Carolina in a ranked ball game, and it's finally great to get down to getting some action going.
I had no doubt. We were talking about we started doing this show because we had no Pirate stuff, but we'll keep doing this along with the Pirates open up next week with you guys. We'll talk about that. But wait a minute. We've got a game today, obviously, you guys do, with Georgia Tech to talk about. And I, you know, Jeff, I'll be honest with you. I thought with UCF, they're going to be look like they'll have another great season. I was surprised last week, to be fair to Georgia Tech there with the Yellow Jackets. I really thought they played a lot better than I expected.
Well, I would say that is true, but I would also say that game says more about how bad a shape the FSU program is versus how good Georgia Tech might be. But they definitely have some skill on that side of the ball. And Jeff Collins, we know from his days at Temple, he's a good football coach, and he will instill toughness in that football team. And, you know, I think they'll be a 500 team this year. And in year three of his program, they should start to become a factor in the ACC.
No question about it. With the Knights, what are the expectations this year? Are they been tempered because of knowing of you losing some players, and obviously with COVID? Or I would imagine that it's undefeated again, right?
Well, you know, we are spoiled in Knight Nation. Everybody's expecting another undefeated season. When you think about what Josh Heupel is doing, 22-4 in his first two seasons, a New Year's Six appearance. You know, a 10-3 was considered a down year. If that's a down year, I'll take that every time.
that's 3 years worth of wins, over 3 years worth of wins for us, my friend. So 10-3, we've only done that twice in school history. So in the modern era for sure. And so that would be certainly a huge year. That's a miracle season for the Pirates. But Bubba, I know that, we both follow UCF close, and we followed even closer now having you, Jeff, and with the program. And one of the questions I have for you is that I think we've asked you before is with the playoff. You know, I reference you guys. It's like I don't even pull for UCF. I'm not a UCF grad. However, they're a conference mate, and when they can win 25 straight games and they can't make it to the playoff, something's wrong. So I'm hoping for you guys. I always use that for all the Power 5 people out there. That you guys deserved a playoff appearance, and after that, definitely after that second season. But what are the thoughts there in Knight Nation? Are you guys hoping at some point that you can break the barrier and finally get through and get into the playoffs?
Well, you know, this of all seasons probably would have been our best chance. But now that the Big Ten is back in the equation, I think that's going to temper that again. You know, because even if the Big Ten was out of the equation, I still don't trust the playoff committee. I think they would have put in three SEC teams in Clemson just to spite everybody. But yeah, it is a shame that they don't get the opportunity to get on that doorstep and get to actually compete for the national championship, because they have been worthy of that opportunity.
Jeff, one of the things that's really been spotlighted for UCF is the quarterback situation. Obviously, you have a proven commodity in Dylan Gabriel and everything he did last year, but you have Mackenzie Milton kind of slowly working himself back into the mix. And what is still going to be a few more weeks, though, until he's ready.
Yeah, it'll be a few more weeks until he's ready. And, you know, we'll have to see about that. You know, Mackenzie's recovery has been nothing short of miraculous. When I was there in Tampa the day he got hurt, and the fact he nearly lost his leg, they, you know, stats show that that injury, half the time the people lose a leg. And to see what he has done so far to get where he is now is a huge accomplishment. You know, Dylan Gabriel is a tremendous quarterback and only will skyrocket more this season. Had a terrific freshman season, throwing for about 3,600 yards. You know, the team averages 541 yards a game and 43 points per game in scoring. And I think the playbook will open up more for him this year. I think it was tempered a little bit by Josh Heupel, seeing that he had a young quarterback. He did struggle on the road, so today will be a good test to see if he's going to, you know, continue his progression. But as far as Mackenzie Milton goes, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I would love to see him back and playing. And then the other side of me says, you know, I'm going to be, you know, holding my breath every time he's near contact or running with the football. And then, of course, Daryl Mack would have been the incumbent to be the backup this year. He won the AAC championship a couple of years ago after Mackenzie got hurt. He decided to opt out. But Kadri Jones, a local kid from Jones High School, word was that he had already passed Mack on the depth chart. So Kadri is a great young talent, and he will be the backup to Dylan Gabriel.
And as far as the matchup, the skill position, I'm sure, is still going to be fantastic for the Knights this year.
Yeah, they are just loaded in the running back room. Adrian Killens graduated, but they still have the Swiss Army knife and Otis Anderson, who splits time at receiver. Greg McCray, he should regain his 1,000-yard form from a couple of years ago. And Batavius Thomas, he's the big back in the group, and he always makes things happen when he touches the ball. McCray and Thompson both had over 600 yards a year ago. Otis Anderson had over 500 yards. So, you know, running the football is an important factor of this high-powered offense. And then at the receiver position, you know, Gabriel Davis is going to be a tough guy to replace. He was he's going to do great things on Sundays with the Buffalo Bills. But, you know, they got a great returning starter in Trey Nixon. He had 49 catches a year ago. Marlon Williams had 51 catches a year ago. Jacob Harris is one of their slot guys. And Oklahoma transfer Jalen Robinson, he's expected to be a factor, and he could be a breakout star for the Knights. I think the big thing we'll need to see from UCF is on the offensive line. You know, their starting center a year ago, Jordan Johnson, was a tremendous player, but they do have Samuel Jackson, Parker Burdeau, and Cole Schneider returning, a seasoned tackle, and Marcus Tatum coming in from Tennessee. But they'll have a redshirt freshman in Matt Lee snapping the ball. So we'll have to see what takes place there. Their run blocking was great a year ago. Pass protection, particularly in the road games, was a bit of a problem.
So hard to win on the road, isn't it, Jeff? You always hear to win all your home games and half your road games. And it really, I'll tell you what, in the Montgomery era, that was very difficult to win on the road. Did we ever win on the road at one game or none, right? It was none.
Dave, you're sliding Coach Mo. We won at UConn. How can you forget
UConn,
that?
That's right.
How can you forget that memorable win?
That's right.
Hey, remember?
That's right. Torbett.
Sunday afternoon game. Sunday afternoon game that was shifted around. I think we're actually maybe supposed to play USF or someone, but the game got bumped.
The hurricane.
We played at UConn on a Sunday. It was a very strange atmosphere, and we got that huge lead and then nearly blew it.
Yeah, he had a chance to kick it was a chip shot field goal, and he had a chance to take it to overtime. Tarbutt was his name, the kicker. Kind of hard. I remember him. I forgot about that road win, but I do remember that name. But anyway, we got the win, and definitely was not going to be 0-4. That would have been like 0-4 on that season. But let's talk about the Knights. As far as the – what's the mood down there as far as – I know it's been – here it's been really hard because we're normally opening up like you guys on Labor Day weekend. This case was supposed to be week zero at Marshall, a huge game with the 50th anniversary of the plane, unfortunate plane crash. And so we were looking forward to that. And then, you know, it's kind of like Jeff, we're excited to see you guys play because that gives us hope that next week that the Pirates are going to play.
Yeah. You know, it's been tough. I mean, I know our folks are chomping at the bit, totally disappointed that we lost the North Carolina game because that was going to be something we could put on our resume if we were to win that football game. It's definitely, everybody's got a bunch of pent-up energy. There will be fans at Georgia Tech. It looks like there's actually a decent little contingent of UCF fans making the trip there. So I would not be surprised if you hear some good noise from the Knights fans up there at Bobby Dodd.
Jeff, what is the capacity today at Bobby Dodd is in Grant Field? Is it 20 or 25%?
I believe it's 20, 25% in that range, which will be the same here in Orlando once we get going here.
And talking about the impacts of COVID, I don't believe we touched on this earlier, but as far as 10 guys opting out, what, two of those were first on the depth chart?
Daryl Mack was one of those guys. Tay Gowan is really the biggest name of the list of 10 that's opting out. The defensive back who has decided he's going to focus his energies on the National Football League this year. That was a tough loss. But the secondary is stacked. They still have a lot of great guys in there, like senior Richie Grant, Aaron Robinson, the nickelback, Antoine Collier, who might be the most underrated of the guys back there. And Bam Moore, we're getting him back too from injury. So once he gets back up to full speed, they'll be able to offset that loss of Gowan.
That's amazing.
Tell us about the Knights defensively. And we've talked to the offensive side of the ball, which is what a lot of folks think about when they think of UCF. But tell us what Coach Randy Shannon has on the defensive side.
You know, he's doing a great job with this, building this defense since he's been at UCF. And you know, the offense gets all the pub, but the defense is steadily rising. When you look at what they did a year ago, you know, they were tops in stops behind the line of scrimmage in the nation. Defensive line, senior tackle Kenny Tunye, he had 13 and a half tackles for loss. Tremon Morris Brash, he's a rising star as a pass rusher on the outside. Anthony Montavo is a big beast in the middle of the line. Linebacker group, we lost a good one in Nate Nevins as he graduated, but the two Erics, Mitchell and Gilliard. Mitchell's good at getting behind the line. Gilliard, he was one of the top tacklers on the team a year ago, and as I mentioned, the secondary is probably the biggest strength of this defense. That gives our front line an opportunity to get to the quarterback.
Sounds very good. Hey, Jeff, before we let you go, love to have you on again soon. And it seems like with the Pirates and UCF, it's always a lot of fun. And that'll be next week. Before we let you go, what are your thoughts on that game? And are you going to make the trip to Greenville? If you do, we'll get you some barbecue.
I would like to, but one of those things that, you know, traveling isn't taking place for me right now. We definitely are focused on Georgia Tech today. I kind of wanted to mention this is an interesting matchup because there's a lot of synergy between these two teams. As you probably are aware, George O'Leary, coach of both programs, he's going to be honored today for induction into Tech's Hall of Fame. He's already in UCF's. Jeff Collins was a grad assistant under O'Leary at Georgia Tech. He was linebackers and coach and recruiting coordinator here, as well as Brent Key, Andrew Thacker, and Will Glover on the Tech staff were all at UCF. The athletic director, Todd Stansberry, was the AD at UCF from 12 to 15. And quarterback Jeff Sims is the nephew of former UCF Knight and NFL wide receiver Mike Sims Walker. And so he's coming from good bloodlines, but we have to root against the younger Sims today.
Hey, Dave, I think Jeff was planning on coming to Greenville next weekend, even though he can't get in and trying to get a East Carolina parent ticket.
I know the traveling is tough, like you were saying, Jeff. Before we let you go, I want to get you to promote your stuff. And thanks again for coming on, buddy.
Yes, no question. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffAllen_88. And I've part of the Nightline Sports Network. We are at @UCF_Nightline. I host the AAC report covering all things in the American each and every week. Drops on Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. And then for full coverage of the nights, our network podcasts are loaded up and giving everything all UCF all the time. And I also host my own show, Jeff Allen Sports Talk, which, we delve into college football quite a bit as well.
All right, Jeff, good luck to the Knights. Good luck to you. And look forward to having you back on real soon, my friend.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate being on.
No problem. Jeff Allen there, Nightline Sports Network. Appreciate him very much. And now another one of our friends. We have I know he's getting ready to make a road trip. Love to be able to go to a football game with Ryan, but Bubba, glad to have him back.
Yeah, I'd love to be making that trip to Stillwater to watch the game today. Maybe the Golden Hurricane can pull the shocker and be huge for the AAC for sure. Welcome in from the Golden Hurricast, Ryan Token.
Yeah, hey guys, thank you. It's been a long time. I'm super happy to be talking to you again. I think last we spoke, it was early February something. I don't know. It was early basketball season at least. So it's been a while. So I'm glad to be talking to you again.
And no doubt about it. Big game today in Stillwater with Tulsa traveling to take on Oklahoma State, the Cowboys. And I believe, are they ranked guys 11th this week? Is that right? So big, almost a top 10 team. You might as well say that. How do you guys feel, Ryan, with Tulsa taking on Oklahoma State? How do you feel about the game?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one. OSU is an incredibly talented team. I expect it to be really high in scoring overall, right? So we played them last year when our defense was notably probably going to be better than it is this year. And they pretty much loaded up on us. We were actually beating them in the first half. If you'll remember, it was 21 to 20, I believe, at the end of the first half. And then we didn't score again in the rest of the game. So we tasted blood a little bit there in the first half, but you never know with this year, but I do expect it to be a high score, right? So Oklahoma State probably has, one of the best offenses in the country this year with Chuba Hubbard, Tylan Wallace, and Spencer Sanders, the triplets, as they call them. And with I expect our passing defense to be really talented again this year, but our run defense was lackluster last year, and I expect it to be that way pretty much again this year, basically just based on the scheme we play, a 3-3-5. And then we lost a lot of guys on the defensive end, right? So Chuba Hubbard, I assume, will have a big day today. If we find a way to stop him, then we have a fighting chance. But stopping Chuba Hubbard is no small task.
Ryan, last year Tulsa, despite your record, was a really competitive football team. You guys hung right in there with a lot of the top teams in the AAC. Like you said, you hung in there in the first half with Oklahoma State. And your record didn't indicate how tough and out Tulsa was last year. Big picture, what do you think it's going to take for Coach Montgomery to go from being a tough team to winning some of those games and getting to a bowl?
Yeah, it's going to be. So I think this year has a chance to take a big step up. Tulsa does play a pretty tough conference schedule, or just schedule in general. And they also played a really tough schedule last year. I think outside of the Power Five, we had the hardest schedule overall. So it was a tough deal last year, and we lost a couple heartbreakers. You'll remember probably the last second field goal missed to Memphis that would have won the game there from like 25 yards out. And then we also had, I think we were up by 30-something. I can't remember, 20-something. We were up by a lot going into the fourth quarter against SMU on the road, and also missed some field goals in overtime and double overtime in that game. So like you said, an underwhelming record last year. I think the talent on the team shows a lot more than that record does. To take the next step this year, we got to make some field goals, first of all. So we'll see if we can do that. We did sign our first, under Montgomery at least, his first scholarship kicker last year. He actually signed, he was, his official visit to Tulsa was at the Memphis game. So he was there to watch the kick miss to beat Memphis. And I think he signed that day, probably. So we're super excited to have him. And then besides that, we got to find a way to stop the run. Like that was a killer last year. The scheme makes it difficult and we lost a lot of talent. So hopefully they've got some answers there, but I'm pretty confident in the offensive firepower we have returning this year. We can talk about that maybe a little later, but I'm feeling good on the offensive end. The defensive side is what scares me.
No doubt. And that's one thing with Tulsa, they're going to have to be able to stop Oklahoma State, obviously, and or at least contain them as much as possible.
Yeah,
to have a chance to win. I don't think you really stop them, but if you can kind of contain them, that'll give you some kind of the chance, right, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. But you mentioned Tulsa's offense and some of the weapons you guys have. Talk about some of those weapons and how you guys expect to score on Tulsa today. Or Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah, hopefully we're not scoring on ourselves. But yeah,
this is scrimmage.
That's going the wrong way. But yeah, so yeah, we've got a lot of, like I mentioned, feeling good about the offense. We'll see how they show out today. Oklahoma State's defense was kind of middle of the pack last year in the Big 12, so we'll see how that shakes out. They are, from everything I've heard, the OSU defense should be pretty improved this year. But you never know until you get on the field, right? So for our offense, the big story is returning quarterback Zach Smith. All right, so he's a senior this year. He was at Baylor originally, and Philip Montgomery was also at Baylor, if you'll remember. And he actually recruited Zach Smith to Baylor. So that's kind of how those two both shaped up in Tulsa. And this is for Zach Smith. This is actually our first, believe it or not, our first returning quarterback since Dane Evans back in 2016. We've had a lot of uncertainty at that position for the last several years, and that has resulted, I think, in some rocky seasons. So very excited to have a returning quarterback, especially a returning quarterback who's a big time, big arm guy, who's a senior ready to leave his mark here at the University of Tulsa. So very excited about him. Outside of him on the offensive end, the big name at receiver is Keelan Stokes. He's the younger brother of Keevan Lucas, who was on the team back in the glory days of 2016. And we're super excited about him. He's also a senior this year. So looking forward to Zach Smith and Stokes kind of being the 1-2 punch. And then at running back also, Shamari Brooks and Corey Taylor have been the story for us for a long time now. They're both very experienced, very good running backs. Shamari, a local kid from here in Tulsa, and Corey Taylor was at Oklahoma State before he transferred to here. So we're super psyched about them. Those are probably the biggest names. We have a lot of kind of up-and-comers, I think, who are going to make a name for themselves this year as well. But those are probably the biggest ones to watch for.
And Ryan, as far as recruiting goes, I know Philip Montgomery has been on the hot seat in Tulsa. That's no secret. How's recruiting going for him and for the program?
Yeah, it's weird. So I put this out on Twitter a couple weeks ago. So back, you know, early March, maybe you guys know the answer to this. Nobody really did on our Twitter account, at least. It was like the number 92 or something recruiting class in March, like soon after signing day, maybe a couple weeks after that was all finished and wrapped up. And it was the highest rated recruiting class in a while for Montgomery. I think maybe his highest one ever.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, we've been struggling with recruiting lately. But yeah, so all of a sudden, like, I don't remember. I looked, you know, a couple months ago or maybe a month ago, and our numbers were like down. We had like the number 116th class number all of a sudden. I have no idea what happened. And that was with the addition of, we got a couple big time transfers from Mizzou and Texas A&M and Oklahoma State and all kinds of stuff. So I don't really know what happened there. Regardless, recruiting has been a struggle for Montgomery. We finished in like 10, 11, and 12 in the AAC rankings for, I think, every year. Maybe 9 was the highest we got. So on that side of things, I don't think it's gotten that much better, but you never know. So we'll see what happens this year. I do like our class a lot. I think it's really talented from this past year. Some of those, I think, have a chance to make an impact even this season. So we'll see.
In just a few minutes in the green room.
What was that?
Bubba, you're going to ask. We were asking if he had another question for you.
No, I didn't say anything. I was letting you go ahead and mention the upcoming schedule.
Okay. All right. We have Keith Morehouse. He's in the green room. We'll be with him in a couple minutes from WSAZ and Huntington, a big game with the Thundering Herd. And of course, Appalachian State, that'll be today. So we'll be talking to him in just a couple minutes. Ryan, I tell you what, I wish we could get in the car with you and go to the Stillwater. It's one of the intriguing matchups today. Obviously, with our next guest, is another one. I wish we could be in like maybe a helicopter or something where we could bounce back and forth. I guess that's what the clicker is for, the remote control. Yeah. That I'll be able to do today is probably the best bet. But as far as the atmosphere there in Stillwater, what can you tell us there? And for those of us that love college football and wish we could be there with you.
Yeah, so it's in Stillwater, like you said. It's at Boone Pickens Stadium there, and that's a big stadium that holds 55,000 or so, and they're at 25% capacity. So I think that's somewhere around 14,000 or something like that, that it will be there. I will be one, like you said, so I'm super excited. It's been a while, so very pumped to get out there here pretty soon.
And about an hour drive, so not too bad for you guys from Tulsa to Stillwater.
Yep, pretty much an hour straight west.
All right. How can people follow? Tell us about your work as far as following you on Twitter and the podcast. I have it on Apple Podcasts. So how do you guys talk about that?
Yeah. So, the podcast is called The Golden Hurricast. We started it a couple years ago, and we are on Twitter mostly, and that's at Golden Hurricast, all one word. I'm on Twitter as well. It's @ Ryan Token. And you can follow me if you want. If you're interested in football, you should probably just follow the Golden Hurricast. I tweet some about football. I also tweet about Apple and tech and all kinds of other stuff. So maybe just follow the Golden Hurricast there. But I'm super pumped. I'm super pumped for this game. It's kind of life on the line for Montgomery. At the end of last year, our athletic director, Derek Gregg, pretty much came out straight up and said it's bowl game or bust for him this year. What that means this season, I have no idea, because we have too many bowls and not enough teams. So if he makes a bowl game, does he save his job by default? Like, I have no idea how that's going to work. He knows he's on the hot seat. I think he knows that this is the kind of game that can turn a career around. So we'll see what happens, but I am very excited.
And Ryan, for appearing today, we're going to send you the Apple Watch, the Series 6.
All right. Well, yeah. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
It came out.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thank you guys for having me. It's always a joy talking to you. So I'll talk to you later.
Right, see you, Ryan. Take care, man.
Yep.
All right, bye-bye. With us right now, very excited. Bubba, back on the show again, and a big matchup today in Huntington, right?
Yeah, welcome back into the program. Keith Morehouse from WSAZ in Huntington. Keith, we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Hey, Bubba. Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me, man. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Appreciate you.
I'm just not here, Mr. Morehouse.
Kyle's here. Kyle, I'm sorry. There you are. Yeah, everybody. I got all the boxes now. It's like the Brady Bunch. All right, I'm good.
Yeah, Keith, so glad to have you back on. And a big matchup with App State today there in Huntington. What's the mood like there? Certainly, I know that there are a lot of us, including Bubba's favorite team. Isn't Appalachian State, Bubba?
Of course it is.
Okay, that's an inside joke.
Dave's running that in the ground.
Yeah. What's the mood like today, Keith, there in Huntington for the game?
Man, everybody's pretty fired up, guys. As you know, this is an old Southern Conference rivalry from way back. Appalachian State and Marshall, they've known each other for a long time. And to get these two teams back together on the field, with the stakes are obviously high. I mean, Appalachian State comes in 23rd. You know, Marshall had that really impressive win in its opening weekend a couple weeks ago. So everybody's pretty jacked up. When Marshall went to Conference USA, obviously that league is different than it was when Marshall joined it, with, you know, Houston and Memphis and UCF and those teams that now aren't there. But everybody up here, I think, has an old, you know, kind of soft spot in their heart for the Southern Conference. And, you know, Furman and Appalachian State and a lot of those powers were going back and forth with Marshall back in the 90s before the Herd went to the FBS. But, everybody's pretty fired up. You know, CBS is in town, the main CBS. They switched the game from CBS College to CBS main network. So
wow, cool.
There's going to be a big showcase, yeah. And you know, with Appalachian State coming in ranked, and, you know, whatever, 14,000 fans allowed in, I think it's going to be a really fun atmosphere, and it's a beautiful day, if you can see already. So it's going to be a fun matchup, no doubt.
Keith, last week when we had you on, or I guess it's a couple weeks ago now, prior to the Herd's opener against EKU, we referenced back in the 90s and that rivalry that existed between App State and Marshall, and I talked about memories of Randy Moss going 75 yards on the post route up at Kipper Stadium. So just talk about, we've touched on it a little, but just the importance of maybe seeing this game schedule more consistently moving forward.
Oh, no question. I Sean Clark, there are lots of little subplots here, guys. Sean Clark, the head coach, went to school at GW, which is 50 miles, to the east of us, which is the state capital in Charleston, which also happens to be the alma mater of Marshall's freshman, now sensation quarterback, Grant Wells. So they have the same alma mater. Sean played at Appalachian State. Tony Peterson, his offensive coordinator, was the quarterback here. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback at Marshall and coached here for 10 years, two different times as offensive coordinator. So he knows all about the program. Tony Peterson is his name. So there are a bunch of little subplots, and then when you put that all in together with the fact that they had a great rivalry. I mean, even the year that they Moss went down there back in 96, I mean, that was a 24-10 game. That was as close as anybody played Marshall that year. And Appalachian's come up here several times and won, and Marshall's gone down there and won. So two teams with a lot of respect for each other, two teams that are, obviously have gone on to good success at the FBS level. So all that, with coupled with Appalachian's ranking and the CBS cameras in town, it ratchets everything up a little bit and puts this game – maybe a little more focus for the national interest than would have been expected beforehand. So yeah, there's a lot on the line here this afternoon for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned Grant Wells, your quarterback, had his debut against Eastern Kentucky, lit it up. Great performance as a freshman. Talk about him. Was that expected? I mean, I know you guys were in a situation where your previous starter had some off the field issues and had to get told to go pack his bags. Were you guys expecting that kind of performance from Grant Wells, or did that come as a surprise?
It's funny, guys. I covered him in high school because, again, he's in the same TV market. So we saw what he could do, and he was athletic and threw it all over the place in high school. But, when you go up to Division I, that's a whole different level of competition. And quite frankly, nobody had seen him, when the band's playing. He had been really good in practice, and lots of people even last year thought maybe he's the best quarterback on the roster, but he didn't play. So you had no idea. So his first ever college game, his first ever college pass was two weekends ago against Eastern Kentucky. So, no, to answer your question, I don't think anybody thought he could be that effective. I mean, he threw some big-time throws. Now, clearly, this afternoon, Appalachian State is going to give him some more trouble than I think Eastern Kentucky gave him, just because Appalachian's, obviously talented. Their defense is going to come after him. So, that first game almost looked like a fairy tale game where he didn't miss a throw. He was, 16 for whatever he was for 307 yards and four touchdowns. And, some people are already, writing him in as a kind of a quasi Heisman candidate. So there's all that kind of hype, but it's going to ratchet up today because Appalachian is going to come after him. Sometimes that's when you wake up as a college quarterback and realize, all right, all those games aren't as easy as the last one. So no one expected that of him. But, the thing that I was most impressed with is he made all the throws. I mean, I don't care who he was playing against a couple of weeks ago. He threw some great balls. He didn't get himself in trouble. He knew when to kind of get out of the pocket and go. And he'll have to do that this afternoon because, Appalachian State's going to dial up some blitzes. And but he just seemed like a cool character. Now, we'll see how that happens at 3:30. But, I think everybody was more than impressed. And for a school that, kind of bills itself as, quarterback U with Chad Pennington and Byron Leftwich and Eric Kresser and, Tony Peterson, who's the offensive coordinator at Appalachian, I think he's going to fit in well. He's got a little bit of moxie about him. He doesn't seem to get panicked. So we'll see how he stands up today against Appalachian State. But, yeah, he was super impressive in his first outing, for sure.
And, Keith, you mentioned how that game's going to be on CBS Network, not Sports Network, but broadcast
right,
CBS.
Right.
Your game against EKU was on ESPN. Conference USA's TV deal in recent years has been kind of wacky. It's been a long time since Marshall's had this kind of exposure back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, you're right, Colin. And I don't know that we sometimes – think about that enough, but you get so many more eyeballs watching you and then going, oh my gosh, I remember back, you know, when Marshall was doing this and that, but you know, and it's through no fault. It's just college football's transition from, you know, what it was then to what it is now. But, you know, being on Facebook and Stadium, which is, you know, nothing bad, but it's not the same thing as CBS and not this, you know, just to kind of throw it out there. You know, you see Stadium or Facebook come in or and you know, they'll bring in one truck. They have four freaking semis down there parked at the stadium ready to go. So they play for real. So yeah, it's a different game. Yeah. I mean, this is, or you guys know this, this is ordinarily the SEC spot at 3:30 on a Saturday afternoon. And to have all those eyeballs on you that maybe ordinarily wouldn't watch, it's a big deal for sure. Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you about, that very thing that we love, the TV coverage and the TV deals. What does Conference USA have to do to get a better deal? Because you guys deserve, this is a perfect example of there's great programs like Marshall, for example, not just because we're talking to you, but that's a perfect example of why you guys should have a better deal. I don't know if it's independent. You can't do your own deal, but you deserve more than what you have now for sure.
Yeah, I think that's sort of an offshoot of the college football realignment. I mean, when I was doing TV games back, you know, I started in 96 when Moss got here and all the way through 2002 with Byron and Leftwich and you know, Chad Pennington. And so, you know, Marshall was kind of the darling of ESPN then. And so they had that deal, and then they go straight to Conference USA, and it's again, it's through no fault of the league, but you're sort of disjointed in where you are and how people can see you. And yeah, it makes a big difference. So I'd like to see the league do something to up its exposure. But, you know, back in those days when Marshall was in the MAC, and now, as you guys know, in the MAC, you got to play on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. And I think that sort of takes the luster off of the alumni coming to town on a Saturday, because from October all the way through November, the MAC doesn't play Saturday football games. And I don't think that's the way to go. But somehow you got to find a way where you can get yourself, you know, a little more exposure. And I'm not smart enough to figure all that out. But, you know, if every time you get on, like last week when Marshall, or 2 weeks ago when Marshall was on ESPN, and there were, what, seven games going on because of COVID. Yeah, you get a little more exposure and more people are watching you. And if they can acquit themselves well this afternoon, and let's say Grant has a tremendous game and maybe they spring the upset, I mean, people all of a sudden are going, oh yeah, that's the Marshall I used to know. I felt like watching that game, guys, against Eastern, even though it was an FCS team, that was the way Marshall used to play football, and that's what Marshall was known for. So if all those things come together and you get a dynamic offense and some great network exposure again, I think that helps your program for sure.
Keith, Marshall, and obviously we cover college football nationally, but we're concentrated on East Carolina. We're supposed to up the season together. What are you hearing in Huntington? You know, we're here down here. We're going to try to play that game December 5th. Most likely the conference championship games are going to be moved. Is that what you're hearing up there?
Yeah, obviously, guys, you know Mike Hamrick, the AD up here, used to be down in Greenville, and he wants to play that game as more than – in fact, he's told me – more than once this year that if there's one game that they can play, he'd love to play East Carolina for a lot of reasons. And you'll see it tomorrow in the broadcast, CBS or today, CBS is going to put some special attention on the anniversary of the tragedy, which is exactly 50 years ago this year. And, you know, ECU had some things planned. So I would love to see him play that game. I'm coming down next week, guys, because I think I told you we're going to do a special on we're working on a special for the November 14th anniversary date. And so, yeah, I mean, I just think that's a game that for so many reasons this year is so important to play. So if neither team's in their championship game, or they're not playing championship games because they're going to bowls or whatever, I hope they make it happen. And I know that, you know, the ADs for both schools are working hard on it. So I hope it does happen, because for so many reasons, it makes sense. It has so much symmetry to the game, and I think this year is the year to do it. So if they can make it happen, it'd be wonderful on both sides, I think.
And Kyle, we got to take him around to get some barbecue. We promised him that a couple weeks ago, so we got to get him some barbecue, Eastern North Carolina barbecue for Keith.
Yeah, I've been there before.
Better get the bees early.
What's your favorite place, Kyle? What is it down there?
Bees. Bee's Barbecue by far is the best for Eastern style barbecue in Greenville, but they sell out early, man. They cook their whole hogs overnight the night before. And if you don't get there by like 11:30 on Saturday, it's going
to
be gone.
You're done. Yeah, man. I like I said, I've been there for several games, and to me, I mentioned the early when Marshall went to Conference USA, that to me has the, and I've been to several SEC venues when East Carolina when Dowdy Fifflin's rocking, that's as much as an SEC environment as I've seen in that league, and I think it's a fantastic place to go. So I always enjoy going down there for sure.
Well, we'll be 350 strong Saturday. So.
No, is that what it is?
Yeah,
next Saturday.
Is that just friends? Is that friends and family?
350 people. Parents only.
Oh, wow. Guys, the guy that when I used to do the games on TV, my partner, Sonny Randall, of course, Sonny coached at East Carolina, played at UVA, was in the NFL, caught more touchdown passes in the 60s than any NFL player. But he was my color guy. And he used to call those MCI crowds just friends and family. That's what he – back when MCI, remember the network, yeah. The phone network? So I guess 350 is better than nothing, right?
Yeah, no question about it.
Hey, now, Keith, a couple things. First of all, Kyle is definitely spot on when it comes to Bee's Barbecue. Bee's is so established, Keith, they don't even have a phone.
Oh, right. They've
never had a phone. And just the word of mouth, and they serve such good food, they don't need one. And then also Bubba Grant chiming in, one of our loyal viewers and listeners, saying we also at East Carolina have a soft spot in our heart.
Yeah, that's
Kyle
right.
Ocon. In our case, it was CUSA instead of the SoCon, but couldn't agree more. I'm glad that this series has been scheduled between East Carolina and Marshall.
Yeah, I just think it fits, man. And there's, Marshall now, of course, Conference USA is kind of a Texas-based league, but when Marshall got in to the Conference USA, you know, East Carolina's there and UCF, and Marshall, I think, considers itself a Southern school, even though it's the most Northern school of the leagues, the schools that it sort of contends with in those leagues. So, yeah, I think it works. And, when they went to the American, I think a lot of Marshall fans up here went, oh, and they kind of got deflated because, you know, it's nothing against the teams they play now, but you have a certain, kind of a closeness or however you want to refer to it as these teams that you joined, especially with East Carolina in the past that they share with Marshall. So, yeah, it's just a good feeling when you're playing teams that you know. And, when you go down to Greenville or they come up to Huntington and you're treated so well, even win or lose, man, you enjoy the experience. And then you say, all right, let's do this again next year. And that's the fun part of rivalries. And that's the fun part of college football.
Keith, one last question from my end. And you kind of mentioned it with CUSA being a Texas-based conference now and you guys playing App State today. It's a good time to ask this question. We've talked about it with some Southern Miss folks. Do you think it's time for Conference USA and the Sun Belt to kind of realign the two leagues? You could really take both those leagues. Yes, big hit check. You could take those two leagues and make two really good geographical sound leagues. I mean, you got Marshall, Appalachian State, Georgia Southern, Old Dominion, all together, yes. Middle Tennessee, and then all the Texas and Deep South schools together. It would make a lot of sense.
Oh, no question, Kyle. You talk about geography and we look at it in relation to what COVID's done, and let's think about the cost of everything, right? I mean, should your volleyball team be going out to El Paso? It just doesn't make sense. So I think it's incumbent upon schools nowadays more than ever, as we see Olympic sports being cut and how many schools are getting rid of sports. You know, instead of having your teams going out to Dallas and El Paso, what if they do go to Boone? What if they go to, schools down south, as you mentioned, that, Georgia Southern and Statesboro and those places where it's a little bit closer and you have a little bit more of a natural rivalry? I think that should be the case in all of college football. Like, why is West Virginia their closest Big 12 game? Is it Iowa State? That doesn't make sense. And I think that maybe it's incumbent upon presidents and athletics directors to say, hey, we got to save some money. Let's do this smart, because you don't know when the next issue is going to come up. And it's been exposed with what has happened with COVID. So, Kyle, that's a perfect point. And I think all of college football should look out. Will they do it? I don't know. maybe not. They'll probably forget about it, you know, next year. But about 10 years ago, college football ran wild with these realignments. And I think, you know, some reckoning should come back to, and some common sense should come back to the game and say, hey, let's form some rivalries where you can bust to, or at least there aren't so far away. Yeah. And you have some geographical common sense. I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Keith, enjoy the game for us. We wish we could be there. That's another one of the matchups we would love to see today. And it's going to be a really good football game. We'll watch it via the big screen and the recliner, so to speak. Thank you so much. And by the way, before we let you go, how can people follow your work?
Just at Keith Morehouse on Twitter, at Keith Morehouse, KEITHMOREHOUSE. And I'm at WSAZ.com. So we'll be covering it hard today. And hopefully we have a great game. It's going to be a beautiful day. And Dave and Bubba and Kyle, thank you guys for having me, man. I always appreciate joining you.
I appreciate you very much. And enjoy it. Look forward to meeting you in person very soon.
All right. Take care of yourself, guys.
See you. Thanks. See you, Keith. All right. So glad to have him a part of the broadcast today, always, WSAZ. And certainly we'll see if we can get that do something special for the Marshall game. And obviously November 14th is the 50th anniversary, so we'll try to do something at least that night. And hopefully we can play that game, like Kyle said, in December. That would be fantastic for sure. Now, guys, we're going to do there's Bubba Grant saying regional rivalries are the best. You're great. Yeah, we could do a whole show, Bubba, Bubba and Kyle, on regional rivalries. And we talked about Southern Miss and that, but we want to talk about the games today. And guys, ladies watching right now, you can join in on Facebook and YouTube, and you can put your picks up as well. Love for you to make comments there. I know, guys, you guys picked 10 games, so let's go over the 10 games, and I'll pitch it back to you, Bubba.
Yeah, we'll start things off here in state. Boston College playing Duke. Boston College has a first-year head coach. Duke looked better than anticipated last week at Notre Dame. And they gave the Fighting Irish a game for about three quarters of that one. So, Kyle, what do you think about this first game between the Blue Devils and the Boston College Eagles?
Yeah, I was surprised. I don't know what the line is now, Bubba, but I was surprised early to see that BC was actually the favorite on the road, not playing a game yet. And Duke looked competitive at times against Notre Dame. Coach Cutcliffe, back calling plays at Duke, is in Durham. BC, brand new head coach, first game, haven't played yet. So give me the Blue Devils in the apparent mild upset.
Yeah, I'm going definitely Duke. I think that they surprised me how good they looked last week. It was a fourth finally, Notre Dame pulled away in the fourth quarter. It was, Bubba, if my memory serves me right, that was a four-point game going into the fourth quarter, right? It was a tight game.
I don't recall exactly, but yes, it was a tight ball game, like I alluded to earlier, through about three quarters.
Yeah, and then they pulled away. They scored a couple touchdowns in the fourth quarter to make it look 27-13 in the final. So, two-touchdown game against there. I'm going definitely with Duke. I think David Cutcliffe doing the plays, and that Bryce kid from Clemson, the quarterback, he looked really good for Duke last week. I was impressed with him. So the defense guys, by the way, played way better than they were a lot more aggressive than I expected for Duke. So if they play like that against Boston College, then I don't know what Boston College has, though, so I will say that. But I'm going to go with Duke.
Yeah, this is actually another note. This is the first time these clubs have met since 2015.
Interesting. And that's the problem.
My pick is Duke. For y'all mentioned some of the reasons, but Duke, you can always count on them being well prepared and coached up under David Cutcliffe. I think it'll be a competitive ball game, but I like Duke to win it.
All right.
Next up, Navy Tulane, right?
Yeah. Next up is Navy and Tulane. Navy got absolutely throttled after having very minimal, if any, contact in the preseason. BYU went into Annapolis 155-3. It was ugly from the kick. So what do you guys think about this one? Because you had Tulane, who had a tremendous come-from-behind win. They were down 24-6 at South Alabama, with South Alabama opening their new stadium. But the Green Wave was able to find a way to get it done on the road.
Yeah, Tulane struggled for three quarters last week. came back in the fourth quarter and decided they were going to play football and beat South Alabama. I just don't see how you don't tackle, you don't hit, you don't cripple up all practice. You can get that fixed in 2 weeks. I do think playing BYU, a very physical football team, while it was a bad thing for Navy in game one, I think it's the best thing for them for the season to get some physicality right from the word go. And what you want to bet over the last 2 weeks, Navy's been hitting and wrapping up in practice. I expect a much better effort from Navy today. I think it's going to be a competitive ball game. But Tulane's got too much talent on that D-line. And that's what I think is going to be the difference. Tulane's D-line, you know, you can do your legal cut blocks and neutralize some of that. But when you hadn't tackled or you hadn't been hit, it's going to be pretty tough against Navy stout defense or Tulane stout defense. So give me the green wave to get the Vic.
Yeah, I'm going to go with I'm definitely going to go with the green wave. I think Tulane is a lot better. And the fact that, guys, one thing have we mentioned on the program this week with Willie Fritz getting that big deal? He's extended. I don't think we have. I think the deal is through 2027 or something like that. But he's done a nice job at Tulane. And they have a lot of excitement with the stadium there on campus, new stadium, and a lot of great things happening with that program. But all in all, I think Tulane is showing that they are definitely a lot better in football than they have been last year. The last couple of years, they've been really turning things around again. So I'm going to go with the green wave.
Give me the green wave as well. I think you'll see a much improved Navy team, but I like Tulane to win it.
All right, both next game.
And next up is UCF at Georgia Tech. We talked to Jeff Allen earlier, and just here about a half an hour ago from the Nightline Sports Network. And so you have the Yellow Jackets last week. They came from behind, down 10-0 early after that lightning delay down in Tallahassee. We're able to get the road win over Mike Norvell and company. And then you have UCF, who, of course, is coming to Greenville next weekend, and UCF is playing its opener.
Yeah, Georgia Tech with the nice win over Florida State last week didn't show a lot on offense, but defense looked pretty good. You would think Florida State's got some pieces on offense. Coach Norvell's a good offensive mind. Granted, it was game one. If Georgia Tech's defense is that good, UCF, particularly early, as they're trying to get their footing back under them, get their tempo going. So UCF's offense also is all about tempo. It could be a struggle early for the Knights. Georgia Tech, like I said, they didn't show a lot on offense either. That's an interesting game to me. I could see Georgia Tech winning that game, or I could see UCF winning it by a couple touchdowns. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what we're going to see in that game. This is a tough one for me to pick because I haven't seen the Knights play, and I'm not sure how good Georgia Tech is. I'm not sure if that was – are they really good or Florida State trash again. My gut tells me it's some of both. So I'm going to go UCF wins late. They're going to struggle early and then put it away kind of fourth quarter and get the Vic over Georgia Tech in Atlanta.
I agree with you, Kyle. I think that UCF, with the talent they have, I think Jeff Collins is building a nice program. I think it's not going to be a slaughter by UCF like it could have been in the past, potentially, especially in those two undefeated seasons. But I do believe that UCF, they may be rusty, but they still have more talent, in my opinion. And I'm going to go with UCF.
Give me the Knights as well in a four-quarter ball game.
All right. You want to move to the next game, Bubba?
Yeah, next up is App State at Marshall. And speaking of App State, we'll be joined by their play-by-play voice, Adam Witten, here in just about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah. Guys, my whole thing with this game is, you know, Marshall looked great against Eastern Kentucky. I personally think, looking at Eastern Kentucky, brand new head coach, I think Eastern Kentucky may be utterly horrible. I'm not sure how good Marshall is. They may be really, really good, or they may just be pretty good. App's going on the road. There's going to be a lot of excitement early. What I think is going to happen, I think Marshall may actually jump on App early because of the excitement in the stadium. CBS Sports Network, or CBS, you know, big CBS, not Sports Network, and having a top 25 App State team rolling to town. I think Marshall will start to jump out early, and then I think App's going to come back. I think App ends up putting this game away. I like App, and I like App probably by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, Keith Morehouse is on with us. Obviously, we love Marshall and the ties they have to East Carolina. Appalachian State, though, I think with their program is it's one of those things where they're a juggernaut and they just keep winning and winning and winning and winning. I think Marshall is a good team, Kyle. I agree with you. I think that, but there's a big difference between Eastern Kentucky and Appalachian State. And I think that they are good, but they're not as good as Appalachian State. I go Appalachian State all the way. And we're waiting on Bubba there. Bubba.
Sorry. What do you think about the game? My head's in the game. I'm communicating with Adam Witten. Adam was asking me something. But no, give me the Mountaineers.
And all right.
Next up, we have the Pirates down at La Tech, and the reason I say that is not only Skip Holtz, but you have Joe Sloan as offensive coordinator, and then David Blackwell as defensive coordinator. So La Tech is traveling to Hattiesburg to take on USM. Southern Miss will be in its first game after a 2-week layoff there between its opener, a loss to South Alabama, and the first game under its new interim head coach.
Yeah, Bubba, what do you think, Kyle?
You cut out on us there, Bubba. But, yeah, for first game for their interim head coach, who has been a head coach prior to this when he was in his 20s at a D3 school, and they put up some of the biggest offensive numbers in D3. He's been co-offensive coordinator there at USM for a while but hasn't really called the plays. I think he's going to – I'm not sure if he's going to be calling plays now as head coach or not for the offense. But as we mentioned, see how the young man handles the situation. Makes him one of the youngest head coaches in college football. He's in his early 30s. I'm torn on this one. La Tech hadn't played yet. La Tech has a pretty young football team. And they've had some COVID issues. This is a tough one for me. I'm going to go, man, I'm going to go Southern Miss barely. They bounce back. Interim head coach gets the W. And USM finds a way to win this one at home barely, maybe overtime.
All right, we have Rob McLamb in the green room with Inside Pack Sports. We'll be with him. The state has a big game today, so we're going to try to speed things up. This is our first disagreement, Kyle. I'm going to go I think it's going to be a competitive ball game. And I go with La Tech. What do you think, Bubba?
Give me Louisiana Tech as well.
All right, next up.
Next up, we have De'Arik King and the Miami Hurricanes traveling to Louisville. We'll take on Scott Satterfield and the Cardinals.
Yeah, two good football teams. King is a very talented athlete. We all know that from Houston. I don't think Miami showed a lot of their offense game one. The Cards look really good against Western Michigan. Or against Western Kentucky. This game is at Louisville. Give me Louisville on ABC primetime.
That's I like Miami, like you said, with De'Arik King. But Louisville is a good team. Scott Satterfield is a great coach. I'm going all the way Louisville.
You referenced De'Arik King, Dave, and I saw a stat. I think it was on ESPN last night that De'Arik King has, I think it's maybe the longest streak in college football history in terms of having at least one rushing touchdown and one passing touchdown in something. It's at least 15 or 16 consecutive ball games, but it's as much as I think De'Arik King will do some excellent things with Miami this year. I think Louisville will find a way to win it at home. Next up, we have Wake Forest traveling to Carter-Finley Stadium to take on NC State.
The Deacs. On the road, slight underdog at Carter-Finley against the Wolfpack. You said we had the our guest from NC State in the green room. I hope he doesn't leave after this. The Deacs have a game under their belt. You look at that score against Clemson. that may have been Wake Forest's best performance against Clemson in the last few years. I haven't, honestly. NC State's had some COVID issues, you know, kind of like East Carolina did around the same time period. But since Wake has played a game, and I don't think Wake is a bad football team, give me the Deacs to go with Carter Finley today and get the mild upset.
Yeah, this is one of the games I knew we were going to do, and I was I'm torn on this one. I've been arguing this one back and forth. I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the Pack, and I think it's a very, very, very tight game. It may come down to a field goal kind of game. That kind of a tight game. I'm going with the Wolfpack.
Kyle referenced a lot of the things that were going into my thinking in terms of NC State having been pretty impacted by some coronavirus issues, and Wake Forest has the game under its belt. I think Wake Forest will probably win a close one, but it would not surprise me to see this one go either way.
Yes.
Yes, I'm going to go with Wake Forest.
All right, we got a couple more games, and then we're going to get to Rob McGlann again of Inside Pack Sports. What's up next?
Next up is Hugh Freeze and the Liberty Flames on going on the road to WKU, taking on the Hilltoppers.
Yeah, Liberty lost a lot off last year's football team. They went to a bowl, Western Kentucky. Not a good performance against Louisville week one. High expectations for Western this year in CUSA. I say Western bounced back and beats Liberty. But never count the Flames out with Hugh Freeze coaching them. He's a great coach. But give me Western Kentucky in a pretty close ball game.
Yeah, I like the Flames a lot, but I think that they have lost a lot. Western Kentucky is going to be the big winner.
I'll take the Hilltoppers. And Troy at Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, Middle looked like dog crap against Army. And again, a lot of teams can look like dog crap against a triple option. Troy hasn't played a game yet. Where's that game at, Bubba? Murfreesboro or Troy?
Murfreesboro, right?
Yeah, it's in Murfreesboro.
Give me Middle just barely.
Yeah, I definitely – I'm going Middle Tennessee, like Stock still. And the fact it's home game, Troy hasn't played a game, I agree with you. Let's go Middle Tennessee.
I'm going to go with the Trojans. I think Troy, even though they have not played a game, I think they'll find a way to win it. Middle Tennessee will look a lot better than they did in West Point, but give me Troy. And the last game, guys, this is one that had not originally been on the list. We had some deletions, as we know. And so we're adding in an American game with the SMU Mustangs going on the road to Denton, Texas to take on North Texas.
Yeah, I 14-point spread in this ball game. I saw it last night on ESPN. One of their analysts had this as one of his locks of the week in terms of spread that SMU would definitely cover. I'm not so sure, man. SMU's defense is not good. North Texas with Seth Luttrell running things. Has a good offense. Give me SMU in a shootout.
Yeah, I'm going SMU. I know we're tight on time. I'll go with SMU to pick up the victory.
SMU struggled some in its opener. Didn't take very good care of the ball at Texas State. I think they'll have some of those issues rectified under first-year offensive coordinator Garrett Riley. And I like the Mustangs to win against North Texas.
All right, guys, next up, our next guest we have in the green room as well. We'll have Adam Witten coming up from Appalachian State. Big game against the Thundering Herd at Marshall and Huntington. But first, we've got a big game in Raleigh today, don't we, Bubba?
Yeah, welcome into the program for the first time from Inside Pack Sports, Rob McClam.
Hey, Rob, how you doing? Yeah, we can now. How you doing, Rob? Good. Glad to have you on. Certainly with the Pack. Got a big game. I know that there's been issues, obviously, with COVID. East Carolina's had the same thing. How are things looking today for the Pack, knowing that, like a lot of teams, having to deal with this the virus?
Guys, I'm not hearing
right now. I don't have anybody out because of it. They're not having anybody in quarantine. The last release they had was a couple days ago, and I think the testing's pretty well.
So with you guys, COVID problem solved. Obviously, you guys missed some practice like we did, but it sounds like testing's going well now, and you got everybody back. So last year, the Pack struggled a little bit, record-wise. Played well at times, but didn't have the record you guys wanted. What's the Pack looking like on the defensive side of the ball? You guys got a lot of stuff returning on that side.
Defensively, they're going to an odd front, which is different from a few years ago. They had the even front. That was when they had the guys that all the whole front got drafted into the NFL. So they're going to even front. They're still relatively young. A lot of the players were injured, of course, last year. They weren't really – NC State, to be frank, wasn't a competitive team. They lost most of the games they lost going 1-7 in the conference. I think only one of them they were really within the in the ballpark of even trying to win. It took a fluke play. It took a trick play to win the game against Syracuse, the one game they did win. So defensively, they were – last season, they were getting trampled. They were getting run on at will. Obviously, we haven't seen a game yet this year. The talk coming out of Raleigh is their mantra is, we're not going to talk a lot. We're going to show you on Saturday. So we'll see. I mean, this is a big game. It's beat them 3 in a row. They have some things to prove, if you want to be honest.
And, Rob, with you have two great coaches with Dave Clawson and Dave Doran, the battle of the Daves today, I guess, at Carter-Finley. What's the mood there in Raleigh with the Wolfpack? The Pack fans excited about today, obviously, being in the home opener, and it's an ACC and a Tobacco Road rival, too.
Well, it's unknown. I mean, there are no fans, so you can't – it's not going to be the team that's going to – improve. A lot of the struggles of last season, the program kind of leaned on the fact they had injuries. And so they're using that as, okay, you know, if we're healthy, we can be a lot better. We were young last season. We were hurt. So it's really one of curiosity. Is this team going to improve? And then the COVID is just, you really haven't been inside the camps the way you would in the build up to normal seasons. Usually you get a feel. Going to practices, going to waiting outside the gate to talk to the guys. Just haven't had that this year. So it's a lot of unknown. But again, this is a big game. At Wake Forest, obviously, as you guys mentioned earlier, they were beaten badly by Clemson. But that didn't stop Wake Forest the past few years from beating NC State. They were beaten worse than the years before. So this is one of those where you can kind of grade out NC State. You saw what Wake Forest was against Clemson. Clemson is the pick of the litter in the ACC. What is NC State compatible to Wake Forest? And that, what better be after Saturday?
Yeah, we get some technical difficulties cutting out on our end here. It's hard to hear a lot of what you're saying, but get the gist of it. You know, Wake Forest obviously struggled against Clemson, but Clemson is the big dogs, not only of the ACC, but one of the big dogs of college football today. So you can't take too much away from that game. Because Clemson would do that in most teams they play. Bubba?
Say it again.
I was pitching it to you.
So one of the things last year in the quarterback situation was really something that had that really stuck out. So how does that look going into this matchup?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Quarterback matchup, how does that look?
Yeah, guys, I think we're having some technical difficulties. We need to
match up with regard.
Yeah, with a State and Wake Forest. All right.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and end this. We'll have you back on later on this season. We are having a lot of technical difficulties. I don't know if it's your end or our end, but we are getting about every other word you're saying.
All right. Appreciate you, Rob, very much for coming on. Inside Pack Sports, appreciate him. And sorry about that, Rob. We're going to try to see. I don't know what happened there, but we'll get you on very soon, obviously, with the Wolfpack. Good luck to them. And Demon Deacons there in Raleigh clashing. Next up, though, we're going to go to Huntington. Big game today. We just talked to Keith Morehouse to get the, obviously, a little bit earlier, to get the Thundering Herd perspective. Bubba, we got another special guest, one of our friends of the podcast.
Yeah, we caught up with this guy last week, and now on his way to the stadium there in Huntington. Welcome in the play-by-play voice of App State, Adam Witten. Adam, can you hear us?
We're on a roll, baby. Adam, well, are you with us?
The show was good for 70 minutes, and then it went off the rails.
No kidding.
We were doing so well.
Adam, if you're talking and you can't hear us, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. There we go. All right, so maybe he'll come back.
All right, so we'll get him back in.
Yeah, but, you know, things like this happen, guys. You're going to have technical difficulties when you're having live guests. That's the beauty of doing live shows, man. It's just going to happen. You just got to keep rolling.
Yeah, that's what the show must go on, and that's what we're going to do, guys, with the Inside Slant. By the way, thanks to all our fans, something we were doing to obviously fill the void, if you will, but I think we'll keep doing this. It's been a lot of fun. You and Bubba are a lot of fun, Kyle, always. And then Saturdays, we're jacked up because we have the – it's nice to know that one thing, fellas, is the fact that we have football. And we didn't know even a few weeks ago if we would have games to even talk about. And here we are. It makes me excited, and I'm praying really hard for next week that we'll have our game next Saturday at high noon. And that'll be a fantastic matchup. For sure. And then with Adam there, with headed to the stadium, that's one of the marquee games we were just talking about. But there's a lot of great games today. And I wouldn't be surprised if, who knows, we might see some upset, guys. That would be great to see Tulsa go into Stillwater and beat Oklahoma State. That's one that really stands out to me.
Yeah, it'd be good for the American. Not so good for the Big 12. I think the Big 12 probably feels like they got upset enough last week, but
yeah,
it'd be good for the American and good for Tulsa. You know, Tulsa has not fared well against their in-state opponents over the years, but this would be a good day for them to turn that around and upset the Cowboys out in Stillwater. And we got Adam back again. Adam, can you hear us?
Yeah. Let's try this again. Adam Witten, are you with us?
He's on mute. Adam, so, can you hear me? It's not Tommy, can you hear me? It's Adam, can you hear me? We'll have a new song. Maybe the Who can help us out.
I'm trying to unmute Adam. For some reason, I cannot unmute. All right. So, Adam, if you can hear us, you're on mute. Software will not allow me to unmute you.
There we go. I got it.
We got
these buttons aren't working.
There you go, Adam. Welcome to the show.
Okay.
Hey, how's it going, Adam? Welcome in. You're driving to keep it between the lines and on the hold your hands on the 10 and 2 there. And thanks so much for coming on with us. A big game there in Huntington today.
Is he muted again? What a disaster.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's not. He's not muted for some reason. We'll try to see if it's not that particular time. It's not the mute.
It is the Sports Objective Clown Show here at the last few minutes of the show.
The Inside Slant every week.
We have another episode of the Andy Griffith Show in the meantime.
Yeah, it's just Adam's connection because he's back with us once again. So maybe the third time will be the charm, guys.
There we go. Adam, hey, what's up, man?
Adam, you out of the holler yet?
We need to talk to Verizon. And,
hey, guys, can you hear me now?
Well, we got in.
Hey, Adam, what's up, man? Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, Adam, if you could step out of the coal mine so we can hear you.
Hey.
If nothing else.
Hey, Well, we'll see how long this goes.
This is a self-service commercial for Verizon or whatever service you have in the Huntington area for sure.
Yeah, if we hold the satellites on top of that mountain, man.
I think he's on a track phone with
the burner, right? Yeah. Oh. All right. Well, we'll try get him back. Yeah, we're gonna have to.
When you get in a better service area, please. Try to get back with us, man, because we're not getting anything you're saying.
Not at all. So we'll bring man back in. We'll talk a couple minutes, see if we can get him, and we'll talk about the games again. Kyle, I know that you're going to be big on your big screen today. What are the games? I'll ask you and Bubba while we wait on Adam. What are the games you're going to be focusing on today? I know we had those 10 picks there, but what's the game that really strikes you as the one that you'll probably be watching the most?
Well, the Appalachian State Marshall game. I mean, we talked about with Morehouse there from Marshall, and we're trying to get Adam from App State on to talk about it more. That's one that, to me, I've really got circled. Obviously, Louisville and Miami tonight in primetime on ABC is another big one nationally and in the ACC conference. You look at the Cards and the Hurricane. Yeah. Either one of those two teams could be the second best team in the ACC and be Clemson's opponent in the championship. So those two come to mind. Pretty much any game that's on the TV, man. From a personal aspect, I'll always keep up with my second favorite team, the Southern Miss Golden Eagles, and I'll be watching them at La Tech on ESPN2. So just whatever is on TV, I'll be watching. You guys know me. I'll be watching college football all day.
Hey, Bubba, what are the games that you're going to be watching? Maybe the number one game or some other ones as well that you're going to be watching this afternoon?
Yeah, looking forward to the App State Marshall game for multiple reasons to see exactly how good Marshall really is here early in the season. I'm looking forward to UCF and Georgia Tech for obvious reasons to see what we can expect out of the Knights come next weekend. So those are two of the main ones. Kind of scrolling through the games here, those are the main two that certainly come to mind. And then it will be interesting. And we talked about that Miami Louisville game. That was one of our games on the Pick'em contest. Number 17 Miami against number 18 Louisville. That's one to definitely keep an eye on.
No question about it.
Also, another. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, does Lafayette, Louisiana, are they playing Georgia State this weekend or is that next weekend?
They're playing Georgia State and they are a 16-point favorite, and I'm pretty sure that game is being played at Ted Turner – at the Ted, as they call it, Turner Field in Atlanta. And
Actually, that stadium has a new name.
I was just getting to that. I don't recall what it is, but yes, we talked about that here recently. They have sponsorship for that stadium.
Yeah, and Georgia State is the opponent that the Pirates will play after UCF if everything goes to plan. So it'll be interesting to watch the Panthers play today also. I believe that's going to be on ESPN2. So you can watch both the Pirates up to a you can watch East Carolina's their next two opponents today, UCF, Georgia Tech on ABC, and Georgia State looking at Lafayette.
That's definitely going to be the two big ones. And obviously, you were talking about the Louisville Miami game is going to be big for sure. But those two opponents with UCF and obviously with Georgia State, those are two that. And the Appalachian State game, probably the three that I'll watch the most. Guys, you have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, guys. Great first half of the show. Unfortunately, I had some technical difficulties with some cell service for a couple of people there at the end, and that's just the way it works doing a live show. And as long as we're going to keep doing live shows, we're going to run into those problems, and you just got to roll with it. Hope everybody enjoyed it and understands that that kind of stuff happens. And everybody have a good day of watching college football, and we'll see you for the for our playback show.
Yeah, appreciate everyone tuning in, and like Kyle was saying, or like all of us have said at one point during this show, I'm really looking forward to next week. knock on wood, I'm not knocking on the bar here at Atrium Health Ballpark in Kannapolis. Everything will go well for East Carolina as well as UCF. And with UCF playing a game today against Georgia Tech, and we'll have football next Saturday at 12 noon at Dowdy Ficklin.
Yeah, guys, it's going to be interesting and certainly going to enjoy. The kids are going to watch football again with me today, so that's going to be a lot of fun. As my daughter, Mackenzie, says, she loves to watch football with her daddy, and that's what we're getting ready to do. And lots of pizza and wings, not good for the diet for sure, but they're going to – and soda, but they're going to have a lot of fun with me doing that. It'll be a lot of family bonding, so we shall we say. So I appreciate you guys very much. I look forward to the playback. And it's going to be interesting to see how these games play out. And I tell you what, guys, we plan on doing this right for every week. I wanted to tell fans that are just joining us that the Inside Slant is something we're going to do every week in addition to covering the Pirates.
Yeah, we'll do this on a weekly basis, catching up with various play-by-play voices, beat writers, and what have you from around the nation, previewing that week's games. And next week we'll have our – Pirate football playback, in addition to a Pirate preview, take a look at that matchup with UCF, we hope. And on Tuesday, we'll catch up with Stephen Igo of Voice the Colors, and then also during that show at 8 o'clock, we will talk to Eric Ward from ECU Sports Marketing to talk about how much different and how challenging it is to produce a game day environment in the COVID times.
And Igo's last appearance on I can't think of the name of our podcast, on the Sports Rejection Podcast.
I don't know about that. He'll be with us. He'll be with us for sure. Until next time, guys.
This podcast is going to be a huge failure. Wow.
No, he's going to be with us. I don't have any problems with him being on. He was our first guest, and he's always been a great friend. Inside Slant here on the Sports Rejection. Thank you, guys.
We don't have any problems with it either, Dave. We'll talk to you. We have zero issues with Steve and Igo.
No doubt. I thought Dave was aware. I apologize.
The Inside Slant here on the Sports Rejection. Thank you so much for watching. We'll have the playback tonight or tomorrow. Thank you so much for watching. And as always, go Pirates. Good day, everybody. Enjoy the football games.